Many folks in Hays saw an increase in their property tax bills this January. GroHays Executive Director Doug Williams stops by to discuss why on this episode of the Post Podcast. I think it's on a lot of people's minds, and that's property taxes right now.
Yes.
Because they did go up.
Yes.
And you got a letter. I want to start with this letter. First off, it's kind of got a weird serial killer vibe. I hate to say that on air, but it's an odd letter. It was anonymous. We have no idea where it came from. But basically, they're blaming you for the property tax increases.
Well, we'll hope it's not a serial killer type deal. You know, at least there weren't a bunch of letters pasted together or something like that. But I get anonymous letters on occasion, and most of the time I don't pay much attention to them. And although we all, you know, none of us like criticism, and that's just life, that's part of the job. But this one I thought was worthy of discussion because, in large part, the person who wrote it, whoever it was, is misinformed. They say in the letter that they live in a $400,000 house and their property taxes went up $900 last year. And I have no doubt that that is what happened. I don't have any way to verify it.
Sounds pretty accurate from what I've heard as well.
Well, and they blamed all of it on the school bond. But if you do the math on a $400,000 house, that's not the case. And the school bond proponents, the group that supported it and put out information about the school bond, projected that on a $200,000 house, the property taxes would increase about $256 a year. And if you do the math on this person's letter and their valuation of $400,000, about $500 of their $900 increase came as a result of the school bond, exactly what it was supposed to be. And the school bond's basically 11 mils, so you can work out the math, and it comes out to roughly on that person's $400,000 house, about a $500 increase. Any additional increase was due to an increase in valuation. Totally different subject, still had a $900 increase. I'm not arguing that, but it is a different subject and a different discussion in terms of why they went up and how much they went up So they were upset that happened, and so they vented their frustration through this letter.
Yeah, and anytime, I don't know anybody that would be happy about an increased bill, whether it be taxes or any other bill. But at the same time, yeah, to go back to the valuation point, after you sent this note to me last night, I kind of looked. I went to the tax assessment rolls, and I looked at that $400,000 house range. And yeah, I saw increases in valuation from about 10 to up to 25% increase. And I know a lot of people did see those, and I'm thinking, well, that right there has got to be, as you pointed out, a big chunk of that.
Yeah, it was about half of it, almost a little more than, well, a little less than half of $900 in terms of an increase was due to valuation. And, you know, there's multiple components of what you pay in property tax. Part of it is the valuation of your property, and part of it is the mill levy. Our mill levy went from roughly 108 or 109 in 2021 to 120 in 2022, and the 11 mil increase was due to the school bond, without a doubt. We still, comparatively across the state, we're still very, very low compared to other places our mill levy is. So when we say our taxes are too high, my first question to people is, compared to what? And certainly not compared to other places, because other places have higher mill levies. They may have somewhat lower valuations, but by and large, their property taxes are going to be higher than ours are. As an example, this person's $400,000 house in Dodge City, his taxes in Hays is $5,500 a year, give or take a few dollars. Dodge City, they'd be $8,500, significantly more. Even if his valuation was less, say it was $350 instead of $400, they'd be $7,500. So if you look at our tax rates compared to other communities like ours, we are still low. I think also that some people, when they say, you know, our taxes are too high, they're comparing it to what they paid last year, obviously. And unfortunately, we're in an inflationary environment where costs of operating local government, police, fire, fixing streets, that kind of thing, has all gone up quite a bit.
Now, we heard some of that this morning.
I'm sure you did.
About the R9 Ranch.
And then you take into consideration also that we neglected to invest in our schools for over 40 years, and now we're having to catch up on some of that. We were due for a fairly significant tax increase. So, as you said, nobody likes it. Nobody loves paying taxes. There's no doubt about that. But there are some things in life that are just that you have to deal with, and that's one of them.
Yeah, and, you know, I hate to editorialize this at all because that's not really my role, and I try to avoid that as much as I can outside of being a champion for Hayes and Ellis County. But I kind of crunched some numbers and because I was curious, like, what kind of impact that actually has? Because I'm fortunate enough that I have friends that would view a $400,000 house as a value buy, and I have friends that will never achieve that in a lifetime. But I was curious, like, what the estimated mortgage payment would be, and it was coming up with about $2,500 a month. So I took that $900 and added that on there, and it's really only about a 3% increase there. Now, as you pointed out before we went on there, it is about a 20% increase in the tax payment. But really, overall in your payment, a 3% increase is far under what we've seen in the overall inflationary rates, and to help support the schools and the city projects in general, it probably doesn't even meet that increased cost to them.
Yeah, and that's true. Obviously, that doesn't make any difference to those who are paying it. You know, it's more they weren't used to that amount, and so it becomes a sticking point and a challenge. But the other thing that the person alluded to is that they have changed their buying habits because of the school bond, and that they're buying all of their major purchases out of town, which I felt was interesting, if nothing else, because number one, he said cars. Well, based on my understanding of how sales tax works on cars is you pay sales tax in the jurisdiction where you tag the car. So it really doesn't matter where you buy it in terms of the sales tax is going to flow back to the county in which you tag the car. If the sales tax happens to be higher where you buy it, you'll pay that over and above. But if it's not, it flows back locally. And then the other thing is, you know, and they mentioned furniture purchases and bedroom sets and this kind of thing. And I'm thinking, so you drive someplace to buy furniture. You pay the same rate of sales tax on almost every location. I went through and I looked, and then, you know, Garden City's 8.95, Salina 9.25, Manhattan 9.45. All sales taxes are within 0.5% of one another. We're currently at 9.25 with 0.5% going towards the school bond. So they're not doing themselves any good financially in terms of saving any money. But they've gone and they basically have supported some other communities, business, school district, you know, that kind of thing. And that doesn't make any sense to me either. It's kind of like cutting off your nose to spite your face. It just doesn't make sense. You're not saving any money and you're just trying to be mad. And that doesn't make sense to me. You know, we have a wonderful community. We have to make investments in this community. Property tax, that's the city, the county, it's some to the rec commission, some to the school district. I mean, it covers a lot of the things that we have in our community that make our community great. And so I think it's being very short-sighted to take the position that this person took. And unfortunately, they didn't sign the letter. I would be happy to discuss this with anybody, you know, so I don't know why they sent it anonymously, but nonetheless, unless it is a serial killer or something, but I'm happy to discuss this with anybody. I've been approached by numerous people about the property taxes, and then we have a discussion about it. It's an active dialogue, and we're not all going to agree on everything, but we can at least have a decent discussion about it. And I think the most important thing is that people become educated on how it works and why it is what it is.
Yeah. And, you know, as something that you pointed out as we talked about the bond issue before the election, it shouldn't be viewed as a cost It's an investment. It's an investment in our community. It's going to make things better here. And even in talking to the folks at USD 49, they're already, it's palpable how excited they are about these projects. And it's going to create the ability for the district to grow, which was, I think, they're really the key point was they didn't have any more room.
Space was a huge part of the need for the bond, but also, you know, a long-term investment, the perception of our community by people who look at our community and might want to move here, whether it's a doctor or a college professor or a school teacher or whomever, a company that looks at our community and says, is this where we want to locate? Schools are really important. And we have neglected our schools for a long, long time. Thankfully, the citizens voted to make a huge investment in our schools, and it's going to pay dividends for the next century, really. It'll be a long-term investment, and it'll pay dividends for a long, long time.
Yeah. Speaking of investment, kind of shifting gears here, we did hear a little bit from Toby Doherty, city manager here in Hayes, and City Commissioner Sandy Jacobs on the show just a little bit ago about the R9 Ranch updates. And it looks like we've got some action going there. Toby said we'd probably be seeing more frequent updates, but maybe this is an opportunity for us to discuss the economic impact of that water and what happens when we finally get that flowing up here.
Well, water is just a foundational resource that any community that wants to survive and thrive has to have. There's a book called The 13 Ways to Kill Your Community. And I think number one in the book is neglect a water supply. You know, unfortunately for our community, unfortunately, we have a challenge with water in our community. We don't have an abundance of water. Fortunately, the previous commissions and the existing commission have chosen to look at alternatives, find other sources, and make the investments necessary to ensure a long-term water supply here. And, it's critically important from an economic development standpoint that we have a sustainable long-term water supply. We still, even once we have that R9 Ranch water flowing to Hayes in the coming years, we're still not going to be a place that has a big river running by it and has all the water we need. You know, we're going to have to be careful. There's going to be industries that we can't recruit here just because they are high water users, just like now. We have people that inquire about coming here, but if they use a lot of water, they're just not a good fit for us. So water's baseline, it's foundational. We've got to have it. And fortunately, the city has seen that. The city of Hayes, city of Russell have recognized that and are trying to get this put in place in spite of some frivolous lawsuits and people trying to stop the process that in the end, I don't believe we'll be successful, but it slows things down.
Yeah. You know, I'm curious what your thoughts are on what happens if, you know, this does go the other way and we don't get those rights. Are we severely limited in the ability to grow?
We would certainly be handicapped in terms of any kind of significant growth unless we found an alternative water supply, whatever that might be. We would have to go back to the drawing board and look at things, but you know we're now looks like we're kind of in the front end of a drought, and although our well fields are still strong because of the last 10 years of significant rainfall and things, it would change the game considerably, and we can't afford to let that happen.
Yeah, and I gotta believe that there are real concerns, I think, on the agricultural side to protecting those water rights for that use. But I'm curious what your thoughts are, too, on how that breaks down. I mean, Hayes, obviously, there's not a lot of agricultural production going on in the city of Hayes, but we do see it across Ellis County and certainly in Northwest Kansas. Is there like an economic figuring on which is better in terms of pure economics?
That's a complicated issue, obviously, and
we've got a minute and a half.
Okay, well, I can cover all that in a minute and a half then, but you know, you're weighing people versus food production, those type of things, and then you get into the whole legal water right situation, and nobody better qualified to talk about that than Toby Doherty. I mean, he is a student of water rights and that kind of thing, and so, it's complicated. It's going to be a big issue in this country for a long time because it's becoming more and more important. We think we have some water challenges. Ours are not anything close to what Southern California and Arizona and places like that face, because there they have tens of millions of people and they're running out of water. Now, California's getting soaked right now, but long term, all you have to do is look at Lake Mead and see how much it has gone down and the challenge that other communities face. So we're not alone with water issues. We've been very proactive as a community with conservation efforts and finding alternative supplies. And I believe in the end, we'll get that supply in place and we'll at least kick the can down the road for another 50 to 75 years. And then I won't have to worry about it after 75 years.
Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
But as they pointed out this morning, there are a lot of folks watching this case and seeing how that shapes up, because it could have potential impacts across the country.
Absolutely. And certainly across Kansas. If they ruled against this transfer, they would mess up a whole lot of stuff that's already in place. So it isn't going to happen. We're going to be fine.